This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist, because we're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report, the latest in mental health research.
So where do you think you are with self-love today? I would say the two things that were most challenging for me were finding love, having a divorce in my early 30s, and then spending my 30s very single. And wondering, you know, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? And there was always seemed like there was this problem to solve of why am I not in a relationship? And then the other part of it was physical challenges. I had to deal with, one, my fear of being alone, and two, my fear of, I didn't fear death as much as I feared physical discomfort, which was all about control. Because I think when it comes to the body, whether it's an eating disorder or being concerned about something happening, worst case scenarios, it all comes down to control. And that fear of, well, what happens if I lose this? Or what happens if my body does this? Or what happens if I don't have control over this? And so that was my battle, was just coming face to face with, okay, I could feel this way forever, and can that be okay? There was a point in my time where I really thought I was losing my mind. And really, that was about losing control. I think it hits us all differently, depending on what were the things that were hardest for us as children, and depending on what we think makes us valuable in the world. You thought what made you valuable is your mission and fulfilling your mission and living into that potential and being a leader and everything else that went into that. No external person, no one, no matter how perfect they are, can ever, ever, ever fill those internal voids. I did that for a while, the whole like dating a different person, but same exact issue over and over again, because my core issues were around rejection and not feeling like I was ever the one that someone wanted. So of course, I would create these experiences where I'd go after people, go after guys. I would never ever feel like they wanted me, but I'd pursue and pursue and pursue and be there and say yes when I really meant no, and try to contort myself into what they wanted me to be, and I'd have the same result. They'd break up with me, ghost me, and then be with somebody else. And it happened over and over and over again. And it wasn't until I really looked at, again, my deeper relationship with myself, I had to love myself enough to start saying no to the experiences and the kind of relationships that just were looping me back in those same old patterns. And that's hard to do because they can be kind of addictive. It's like, just this one more time. Just this one more time, I'll try it. I'll get it right this time. And then the same thing happens. And it's so powerful when we break those patterns and we say, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. I learned that criticizing my inner critic and just shaming these parts of me I wanted to change wasn't going to work. So when that inner critic would come up, or the self-loathing, the judger, the you're not this, you're not enough this, why can't you be more like this, all that stuff, I'd be like, oh, hello, I hear you. And I know you're just trying to protect me. And sometimes I'd actually journal it out, like, because we have all these voices inside our head. It doesn't mean we're crazy. It's just the multidimensional human experience. We have all these different voices and all these different parts. And when I could separate it out and see, wow, that voice that's being so hard on me actually isn't me. It's just a part. And if I can observe it and separate from it and see that it's just an aspect, then it made it feel not so overwhelming. That was a big part of self-love for me, is I had to forgive the parts of me that I didn't like.
Yeah.
I had to forgive the controlling one. I had to forgive the impatient one. I had to forgive the judgmental one, the critical one, the one that, you know, put myself in situations that I didn't want to be in, you know, the one with no boundaries. And understanding those were all, they were all trying to protect me. They all had good intentions, just their execution wasn't so great. And coming into acceptance of those parts really, really helped, because just shaming and judging myself and trying to make the negative or critical voices go away didn't work. I had to welcome them and hear them and just have a different relationship with them. That's a big part of self-love for me too, is to know that there's a part of me going through any experience, and then there's a part of me witnessing the experience and holding space for that experience. And So deep compassion for myself too, because I am so great at being compassionate for other people. Like, you could come to me with anything and I wouldn't judge you and I'd hold space for you. And I am great at that. But when it came to myself, I was not giving myself what I was so willingly giving others. And I think that so many of us do that too. And that was a big aha moment for me, is wow, how can I start giving myself the things that I so willingly give others, and I give others with joy and actually enjoy giving others. Mm-hmm. But yet when it comes to me, I think I have to be harsh and critical, and I set standards and expectations for myself that I could never live up to. And letting a lot of those kind of walls collapse was, again, scary, because that was what worked. That was what was familiar, but it was also liberating. I was doing some of my own healing with some somatic workers, some sexual healing, emotional healing, leading up to meeting Steph. And I remember in one of the sessions, I was laying on the table after I'd just done some really deep work. It was a man and a woman facilitator, and the man said to me, "We've taken you as far as you can go. Love will do the rest." There's a certain place that I wasn't able to get to on my own, that with the right amount of self-love to welcome in that kind of partner, an aligned person who can really hold that space of love, there's some deep healing that can happen if we project our model of the world, the way we would handle a situation, onto someone else and expect them to act like we would act, instead of really seeking to understand, why is this important to you? What does it mean to you? Tell me more. But it's back to what, when something is sacred, you also not necessarily allow, but do your best to understand what the other person truly needs. If we can really stop looking at the other person as the reason for either our happiness or our suffering, and it comes back to what we were talking about earlier, that self-love. And relationships are excellent at triggering our unresolved stuff from childhood. Early stages of our relationship tend to be what we didn't get from mom, what we didn't get from dad. We end up seeking that out in a partner, and that's another dead end. No partner can ever heal your mommy and daddy wounds either. One thing that's been important to me to learn in my relationships is that certain relationships have an expiration date. They come, they teach us a valuable lesson, we work through our issues, but trying to make something go beyond its expiration date is just misery. And that's where a lot of people are. They've come together, maybe they've learned something, they've triggered each other, they've pushed each other buttons, they've gone as far as they could. But then they're so afraid of breaking that commitment or the unknown that they end up staying together for the sake of just staying together. How can you have enough self-love to really seek truth and ask inside, all right, like, what's really true for me? And what do I feel like I need to do in this moment? And what would love do? Love doesn't sit there and just meditate and pray for it to be better. Love actually requires action as well. And love requires doing the difficult work and saying the difficult things. And I don't know, I'm just, with working with people for as long as I have on the psychological level, I see so many parallels to what's happening now to what happens when someone's in any kind of crisis, be it a breakup, a health crisis, a work crisis, whatever. It's a massive amount of uncertainty. And then all their inner wounding gets triggered. And whatever they felt as a child, they feel in that moment. And they have two choices: either hide and numb and hope that it ends soon and hope that time heals all wounds. Or they go, whoa, what is this reminding me of? What is this triggering? What can I learn from this? And what do I need to go back and heal and resolve? And I think that's what more of us need to be doing, is the latter right now. In uncertainty, we want control. And a lot of times judging and having opinions about other people gives us the illusion of control. If I can think about all the things that piss me off and all the things other people are doing wrong, then I don't have to sit and deal with my own fear. I don't have to confront my own demons, because I can just point the finger at other people. And I'm with you. I really am not in a place of judging anyone, but I am in a place of, holy shit, like, we got to come together, because it's not doing anything. And I'm doing what I would encourage anybody to do, which is I'm continuing to do my own inner work. I'm dealing with my fear. Like, the biggest fear that's come up for me around this has been losing someone I love, particularly my husband. And I've allowed myself to go into that fear and feel it. And I think a lot of people are afraid to do that because the law of attraction has told us, no, we can't feel those feelings because then we'll draw it to us. But I disagree, because I think actually going into the fear and feeling it, the energetically you're actually in is acceptance, not fear.
Yeah.
And that's a high vibration. And so by going in and confronting the things we're afraid of and looking at it instead of avoiding it and blaming other people, then we're actually in the frequency of acceptance. We're actually not resisting something. And then I think that gets us closer to love and closer to innovation. So that's what I've been doing, just going inside, doing my own work, working with my own triggers, and just keep asking, okay, what would love do now? What can I do now? And trying to help as many people as I can do their own inner work. Listen, I know it can feel really scary to look at fear or past traumatic experience or any of those things, but they're there. And I think part of why we are where we are as a society is because it's been too easy to repress and suppress stuff. Life's been too easy. We haven't had to confront a lot of things. We have way too many numbing strategies, way too many places for distraction, and it hasn't been hard enough in a lot of ways. And this isn't some kumbaya thing. Love really does heal all. Every heartache, every physical disorder I have, it hasn't been a supplement. It hasn't been anything external. It's always been love.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist. Because we're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report, the latest in mental health research.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.